Did Jesus talk about justification by faith alone? The answer to that question might surprise you. And that's what we're going to discuss and explore on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Thank you so much for joining us. You've caught up with us in the middle of a new series that we're calling the King Jesus Debate, and it is a discussion about a debate that's going on between various lordship teachers. So, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. We're discussing a little bit of a debate that has been going on the internet between Scott McKnight and Matthew Bates and what they're calling the King Jesus Gospel, and a critique that they're making of the Gospel Coalition and the Together for the Gospel people, which includes John Piper, John MacArthur,
R.C. Sproul,
Al Mohler, the late R.C. Sproul.
Right.
And basically, their contention is this. McKnight and Bates are saying this, that the gospel is about Jesus being the king, and the Gospel Coalition people, they're mistaken in making justification by faith a part of the gospel.
And the center of it, yeah.
Or the center of it. They say it is a benefit of the gospel, that as a result of the gospel, we're justified by faith. But that message is not central to the gospel. That's what Bates and McKnight are saying. And there is an article, a blog article, on his Jesus Creed blog by Scott McKnight. It's called King Jesus Gospel. Mere kingship? No. I love how this blog starts off. He quotes someone named Beth Felker Jones saying, "The best practitioners of doctrine, sola scriptura is under discussion, are always ready to be challenged and corrected by God's word." Now, first of all, I want to say that's our attitude.
Right.
There is no belief that is so sacred, so sacrosanct, that you shouldn't reevaluate in light of God's word and be ready to change your mind if God's word teaches otherwise.
Right.
That has to be our highest standard. So Scott McKnight, in this article, early on, he criticizes the Gospel Coalition in this way. He says, it's not that we deny the truth of what they teach about salvation. And that's kind of really interesting because from our perspective, the Gospel Coalition people teach salvation by works. They teach lordship salvation.
Right.
And so Scott McKnight is saying, we're not disagreeing with what they teach about salvation. It's funny because McKnight and Bates have really come out strongly in saying that salvation is by faith, but faith is allegiance.
Right. You must have loyalty to Jesus, bodily loyalty.
So clearly they believe in salvation by works too. And he says, it's not that we deny the truth of what they teach about salvation, but the ordering of the gospel is not identical to the gospels presented in the New Testament. Their gospel, no matter how you cut the cards, is, or at least has been, closer to the four spiritual laws, the bridge, or the sinner's prayer gospel. I just thought that was kind of interesting because
right.
we've had experience with some of those things. You especially
right.
have had experience with the four spiritual laws. What does he mean by that?
Well, I worked with Campus Crusade for Christ for 4 years on staff, and I shared the four spiritual laws a lot. And basically, the four spiritual laws has been criticized by people like John MacArthur and others as not being strong enough in the way it presents things. But people on the free grace side sometimes criticize it because they think it's not clear enough on the grace side. Mm. So the four spiritual laws is kind of whatever the person sharing it wants it to be. But essentially what the four spiritual laws is saying is, would you like to invite Jesus into your heart? Would you like to put him on the throne of your life? But then they have other booklets saying that putting him on the throne of your life is a sanctification issue.
Mm.
It's kind of a mishmash among staff as to whether they're free grace or lordship salvation or somewhere confused. But his point is, whatever these booklets they're talking about are, their presentation is something like this, where you're trying to get people to respond.
Right.
And they don't like trying to get people to respond. They want people to respond, but not by praying a prayer,
right.
not by inviting Jesus into your heart,
right.
but by making a commitment to serve him for the rest of your life,
right.
which is, funny thing is, that's what Together for the Gospel and the Gospel Coalition are seeking too.
Right, exactly. So it's like when they say they believe in justification by faith apart from works, but when you read their writings, they definitely make works a condition of not just sanctification, but to be justified at all, you know, to be saved at all. Anyways, it's kind of interesting. He mentions also the sinner's prayer gospel, and that's another gospel, quote-unquote, presentation we would be against. I often have people say to me, well, I'm not like you. I don't believe in a sinner's prayer gospel. And I say, no, no, let me be clear about this. You are not saved by a prayer or by any other work. You are saved by believing, through believing in Jesus and his promise of eternal life. Saying a prayer is not necessary. That can get really confusing for people. If you tell people you have to say a special sinner's prayer to be saved, they're going to think, okay, my salvation depends upon saying this prayer right, with the right amount of emotion,
right,
with the right amount of devotion, with the right amount of intent. And you'll never know if you've said it right. I think I read Martin Luther once say, if my salvation depended upon saying the Our Father, I would never know that I was saved, because I would never know if I said it in the right way. Anyway, so we don't believe in the sinner's prayer gospel. We believe in faith alone. But anyway, Scott McKnight goes on and he discusses justification. He makes the point that we would agree with, that you only find the term justification three times in the gospel. It's all three times in Luke. He says, when one presses this too hard, one discovers that Jesus didn't or rarely preach the gospel of the centrality of justification. That's a serious mistake. Jesus instead chose kingdom to express his gospel. And he goes on to say, further, arguing that justification is central means we only have one author in the New Testament who gets close to this, Paul, but only in two of his letters is it central, Romans and Galatians. So here's his point. First, his point is, Jesus never teaches about justification by faith apart from works. What do you think about that?
I would agree with that. The references to justification on the lips of Jesus, the only one that possibly could apply would be in the situation in Luke 18, 9 through 14, where you have the parable of the Pharisee and the publican.
Right.
And the publican cries out, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
We used to say in Eastern Orthodox circles, Gospodi pomiloi, means God be merciful to me. It's that basic cry. And basically, Jesus goes on to say, truly I say to you, the latter man, the publican, went down to his house justified.
Right.
I used to take the view that that referred to forensic justification, declared righteous. I now think, and I would agree with McKnight on this point, that what he's saying is that man was vindicated.
Right.
He had the right attitude. Doesn't mean he was born again. Doesn't mean he was justified forensically. It just means he had the right attitude. Now, he may have been forensically justified, but if so, it was by faith in Jesus, not by saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Right.
And so I would agree there's no reference to justification in the teachings of Jesus, but there is plenty of teaching of regeneration by faith in the ministry of Jesus.
And that is that's the key point that I find missing in this debate, and we've mentioned it in previous episodes. It's true. When you look at the synoptic gospels, you're not going to find justification by faith apart from works. What you're going to find is something called the gospel of the kingdom. That's what the New Testament calls it. They are calling it, Bates and McKnight are calling it, the King Jesus gospel. But they keep on leaving out John. They keep on leaving out John's gospel. And John's gospel aligns with Paul very, very, very well. Because all throughout John's gospel, Jesus gives one condition to have eternal life, one condition to be born again, as to believe in him.
Right. I should point out that justification and regeneration are not identical, but they're both by faith alone, and they both occur at the moment of faith.
Mm-hmm.
One's a ministry of the Holy Spirit, one's a ministry of God the Father. At the moment we believe in Christ, God the Father declares us righteous.
That's right.
At the moment we believe in Christ, at the same time we're justified, we're also regenerated by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
So both of those occur simultaneously. So when I hear someone talking about justification by faith alone, I'm going to give them credit for understanding that's also talking about regeneration by faith alone.
What you just said, I love what you just said, just distinguishing the ministries of the Father and the Spirit. Because rightly dividing these things, I think, is at the heart of this debate. And I think it's something that Bates and McKnight and also the Gospel Coalition guys can do a lot better. Because one of the things they're not rightly dividing is just the term gospel itself.
Right.
They're not realizing, as you've argued in your book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, that there's more than one gospel in the Bible. The gospel of the kingdom, which McKnight and Bates are rightly calling attention to, does have the kingdom and the kingship of Jesus as central.
And let me make one quick point on that. Some dispensationalists used to say the gospel of the kingdom is the way people were born again prior to Pentecost.
Mm.
And so when Paul came, the message changed from commitment and obedience and
right,
following Christ to believing in Christ.
Right.
But many other dispensationalists came to see that, no, the gospel of the kingdom is not how people were ever born again,
right,
or justified. That was the message of the good news that the kingdom had drawn near.
Right.
And the message of regeneration by faith or justification by faith has been the position all the way back to Genesis 15:6 with Abraham, 2000 BC, and all the way back to Adam and Eve,
right,
which I would say is 4100 BC. Some people would say, who knows how far back it was. But in any regard, from the very beginning, no one's ever been born again or justified by any method other than faith.
I mean, that's why we have John's gospel, because
right,
John focused on that aspect of Jesus' ministry.
And I like your point that what McKnight is failing to do, and Bates, is focus on John's gospel. Not only don't they focus on John's gospel, they don't even mention it.
Right. On one hand, I want to praise Bates and McKnight for rightly calling attention to the centrality of Jesus and his kingship. But there's another thing I think they get really wrong. I'm pretty sure that these guys believe, they think the kingdom is happening now. They think we're going to bring in the kingdom.
Some sort of realized eschatology.
Realized eschatology.
Yeah.
And that's, if you're going to talk about Jesus and the kingdom, the King Jesus gospel, and you think that we're in the kingdom now, in any sense, you've really messed things up.
Is this called the Corona Kingdom?
This is a terrible kingdom if we're in the kingdom now. But maybe this is something we can talk about in the next episode, because we've just about run out of time. What's so interesting about this debate is something that dispensationalists have been calling attention to again and again and again, and we try to call attention to it. You need to rightly divide the word of truth. You need to make proper distinctions in God's words. You don't jumble everything together, because when you jumble everything together, you're going to get a confused message. I would really recommend Bob's book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, and just start with the chapter on gospel. Maybe I'll make that available free as an ebook at our website. Go to faithalone.org. You'll be able to find that chapter there as an ebook. But be sure to pick up a copy at our bookstore, faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to switch sides, so to speak. We've been talking all about one side of this King Jesus debate, but tomorrow we're going to look at what their opponents have to say about the subject. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.